Hey, you guys out there, it is 1:43 p.m. on May 18th, 2016, and this is the Daily Talk with Taylor Thibodeau, bringing you all the positivity in the Black community. So sadly, I have come to the end of my first season on the radio station, but I have the amazing opportunity to end it with rapper Jordan Cash. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. This is a big blessing for me, so I appreciate that.
Well, it's a blessing for me to have you on the show. I really appreciate it. So could you please let the listeners at home know exactly what it is you do in its entirety as far as art?
As far as the artist, I feel like I'm a creative director. I give a lot of inspiration because where I come from, it was limited. So what I like to do is just pull from my story, put it into my music, and then take that same energy I put into the music, put it into the live show, but go a step further to reach the community, to really touch the youth and let them know that the same things I'm doing, whatever they dreaming, they can do it too, you know?
That's what's up, a creative director. You didn't just say you were a musician.
Yeah, yeah.
You say you are a creative director. I like that. So where exactly are you from?
I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Wow.
Naptown. It's in the Midwest, though. It's a small little place. Usually I had to tell people it's where the Pacers play or where the Coats play at, because they don't really know where it's from.
Yeah, yeah. Indianapolis. I've never met anyone from Indianapolis.
Well, you know, it's the first time for anything.
Yes, indeed.
It's a good thing you got to meet Jordan Cash from Indianapolis. You know?
Right. There you go. So when did you decide to make your commute to California?
Actually, It's a crazy story. It's actually a radio story, so you'll probably be pretty fond of this. But I was out in Miami with Revo Music Conference doing some work with them, and I had met a lot of connects the first year. Then the second year, I came back and met more connects. But this time, it was like a West Coast vibe of people I met. Uh-huh. And I got to meet Big Boy on the last day of the event. And I got to chop it up with him, and I was telling him, like, yo, I need you to hear my music. I know you got a platform for me to, like, put it out on, and I just want to be heard, you know? And he was like, well, if you got something on you right now, I'll listen. I'm like, yo, I'm working right now. I don't got no music. And I had, like, the vice president's son with me at the time, so I couldn't really, like, spit a freestyle and none of that. You know, I tried to keep it professional. So I was like, I think I need to go to L.A. My grandma was out here at the time, and she was telling me, like, yo, you should come out to L.A. Come. I said, all right, grandma, I'm coming out there, you know. And I met Big Boy October 19th, and I flew out here October 25th.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just like that. That conversation with him made you come out here.
For sure. I really started to feel like this whole music community was real small, and if I could keep brushing shoulders with the right people, then I would be a big part of this small community, you know?
Right. So, like, how did it feel to meet Big Boy, though? Because I haven't met someone that's actually had contact like that with him. So
It was kind of scary, because growing up, Big Boy in the neighborhood was something that you used to watch on YouTube, you know? And I always admired how he brought out the personality in the artist. Like, because it could be one of my favorite artists, but at the time it wasn't all the social media and Instagram and all that back in the day, so you really didn't know the personality of the artist. And when you seen him on Big Boy's station, you got to see what the artist truly was and who their character was. So I've really felt like having a conversation that I was on radio with him, you know?
Really?
So it was really amazing. And then he was really embracing about what I had going on, and he would, like, cared about it. He wanted to know more, and I told him about the brand and, like, what the music is really about and what's behind it. And he was like, yo, I see you on your grind. Keep moving. Then I posted the picture. Same night, he wrote on the picture, like, keep it up, big homie, I see you. And I was like, yo, I'm coming to the West Coast. I'm on my way.
You know? Yo, and that's a big move to make. I mean, you know, he didn't give you, like, this big, huge opportunity, but you never know. See him again, like, in the next few months. And he's like, you know what? I remember you. I'm going to put you on. Like,
what's usually so crazy is I came out here and I was riding with Marisha. And, you know, she been trying to help me get shows and all that. And we've been just on a search for everything and every endless possibility, you know. And I was talking, and she had went somewhere, and I was in the car just listening to the radio. And it was like, yo, Big Boy is going to be at Kia downtown 2:00 Saturday. I was like, yo, I need to be there, you know. So we made that move, and I got there, and the first person I meet was Omarion. He come up to me, shake my hand. I'm like, yo, I ain't here to, you know, like, I ain't got nothing against you, but I'm here to meet Big Boy. I need to get to the viewers, you know. So I wasn't trying to knock Omarion, but yeah. I was trying to get straight to the bag, you know? Like, that's how I handle business. I'm straight for focus, and I'm coming to do what I came to do. Like, it ain't for the side talk or none of that, you know?
Like, but you never know, though. Omarion could be the plug, too. Like,
I mean, he's a plug for what he do. If I need a hook
right.
or a hot verse,
you know,
R&B track for the ladies, I'll call him. But
right.
as far as trying to handle business with Omarion, I can't do that.
Oh.
You know, B2K, they fell apart real
oh,
quick.
Oh, no. I love B2K, though. Bump, bump, bump. Like, that was my in back in the day.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so how has your Cali experience been? Because you came to Cali and you had this really dope, you know, meeting of, you know, all these celebrities, but how has it really been for you, like your journey?
With the ups and downs,
all that,
I can't say it has been nothing short of spectacular, because mm-hmm. I came out here with a vision, and that vision was just to connect with the people and let the people know that I'm a true artist and I take it serious. And not enough, I take it serious enough to know that the music that I put out is going to change somebody's lives while it's changing mine, you know. So since I've been here, I had to witness and I had to suffer through my grandma passing away.
Wow.
She passed away pretty much like 2 months after I got here. And then a lot of things changed up from that, you know. And I could have ended up on the streets, because I came out here with a hope and a dream, you know. Like, I left my home that I was living in Orlando, and I just came out here and just upped and left everything, you know. So When I did that, I left myself with nothing really to fall back on besides going back to mama house in Indianapolis. And I've been new since I get on that road to leave Indianapolis. I ain't going back unless I can come back and change what we, you know, been facing. So since I got here, grandma passed away, living situations got a little rocky, you know, and based on God blessing me and putting the right people in my life, you know, I didn't have to face some of the things that I would have had to face if I was dealing my own out here, you know. So I just thank God for that. But everything has been an experience, and this has it created enough momentum for me to get going and let me know that can't nothing stop me, you know. And I got a story to tell. So while I'm trying to tell a story already, the story is still building. So I feel like the content that I can create now is endless, you know.
Right.
So it's been an amazing journey out here.
That's a beautiful answer. That's beautiful.
Thank you for that.
So, I mean, like, you. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
It's so good.
I got lost in your words. Like, I really commend you for coming out here, because that's usually how it happens for a lot of artists that aren't from here. They come here and they risk everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And just by you, like, putting yourself in that position, like, I want to know, how important do you think it is, like, to put yourself in a position like you have to do this?
I feel like if you believe in something, why not go for it? Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to live with that regret of knowing that you didn't make that move. You're going to have to live with, what if I would have did that, you know? So I figure if you go out there and put yourself out there, even if you do fail, you're going to learn something about what you was trying to do or about yourself that's going to keep you going.
So playing it safe in life is just not
playing
how
it
you're
going
to be successful.
You got to take risks, you know. Make sure they calculate the risks, you know, but you got to take risks, because if you never take a risk, you're going to always be in the box. And how many people get things done in the box, you know? It's a small few, you know.
That's deep. So in what ways has, you know, being an artist and striving in California shaped you as an artist and also as a man?
As an artist, it just gave me the whole mindset of being way more professional. It's not about just getting in the studio, making a song, acting crazy, none of that. Because at the end of the day, these people want to see if you can do business. It's about business. It's about generating dollars. It's about generating lifestyles that's going to make sure everybody around you eat, you know. So I learned to just handle everything with more importance. Be on time. You know, when you show up to places, don't act a fool and act like you own the place, and make sure the people you bring with you is in line, because at the end of the day, everything falls back on who's representing the brand. And if it's one person in your group acting up, that's you too, because y'all came together, you know. So I try to keep everything to, you know, we got to be ourselves, we got to be free and open as artists, but we got to be professional, let people know we mean business and we stand for something. So I feel like as an artist, it developed me to be a more business-minded individual. As a man, since I got here, I feel like I've grown a lot, because where I come from in Indianapolis, girls, they accessible, and not because I go looking for them, but because they knew I had a name, people knew me already. So since I got here, I kind of like chilled back and I look at women as women and not everyone as a target, you know? So I feel like in that aspect, I have been able to just focus purely on music, and I let good people come in my life how they should, and I just go looking for them, or, you know, just be so excited and tempted because there's beautiful women everywhere in California, everywhere you go, you know? But that'd be a distraction if I let it become a problem, you know? So I became more focused on like the music and the building the business instead of the partying and the girls, you know, because that's going
to
come.
Yeah, because that lifestyle here is really easy to fall into.
Yeah, and it's dangerous out here, you know. I watch NWA and, you know, like, I ain't trying to get caught up in the whole Easy Magic type thing, you know, so you got to be cautious out here, you know. It's scary because you see, like, sex has become such an idolized thing that everybody just throwing it around, and it's like, do you really want to be a part of that community, you know?
Definitely.
I'm more casual with what I do. I care about myself, you know? So I think I'm different in that aspect. And I think that's what shaped me being in L.A. because Orlando is the same thing, beautiful women everywhere. But I had to grow that focus to where I'm not trying to focus on so many things at once that's going to distract me later, you know?
Right. So you talked a little bit about, you know, California really shaping you as a businessman. So how did you go about learning the steps into shaping your business? Because, like, a lot of people don't know where to start. So did you take classes? Did you have a mentor? Like, how did you learn?
I did have a mentor, and I don't know him personally, but Jay-Z has been a great mentor of mine, and just the evolution of his business. You know, I pretty much watch his growth. Sean Combs as well, you know. So what I did as a youngster, I've been doing music for a long time, you know. So what I did growing up is focus on reading, because I figured if somebody telling me the business, they only telling me what they want me to know. So if I go and put more to what they telling me and I've really researched this and examined it thoroughly, then I'm gonna know what I need to know, and then what they telling me, I can just use it for benefits, you know. But they can't, it's not like what they tell me goes, because that's all I know. And that, I feel like that's how people get controlled in this industry, is by the lack of knowledge, you know.
Definitely.
If you don't know what the next person know, they're able to move you and like use you how they want to, you know. So, and I noticed that being aware and being knowledgeable in this industry scare a lot of people, because a lot of people was very manipulative and they want to use, you know. So it's just about taking your craft serious enough to understand it deeper than the music, because the music is only going to get you halfway there.
Definitely. I agree. So let's get into your music background. So when did you start, you know, dabbling in the music scene? At what age?
I was 9 years old.
You were nine.
Nine. But I think earlier, before nine, I knew I wanted to do music, but I couldn't tell nobody that, because it wasn't, like, back then, it was uncommon for any kid to be a rapper. It was no kid rappers but Criss Cross, and they had pretty much played out by the time I was nine, you know. So my mom's boyfriend, he's from L.A. He had came with her ex-boyfriend. He was in Indianapolis, and they had opened a studio, and the studio happened to be, like, 2 miles from the crib. So after school, I would do homework, clean up, whatever my mom wanted me to do. Then I'm like, yo, I'm out. I'm going to the studio. And she was opening a clothing store on the other side. So I always made it seem like I was going to help paint her store, or, you know, help her put her racks up. But the studio was literally the other side of the building. So when I get up there, I'm not painting. Mama, I'm not no construction worker. Like, you know, and that was my excuse. Mama, I was going to paint this room, but I figured the colors weren't going to look right if I did it. But I really been in the studio all day, because her boyfriend at the time had shown me how to use the equipment. And this is when they was recording on, like, they called it, I think it was called DAP tape or something like that. DAP tape. Like, it was like a huge file folder, like drive. You know, you don't remember the floppy disk? It was like a floppy disk that you had to put in the soundboard. And this is how you saved your music. So that's where I started at, you know. And just me being in that studio at that point made me know, like, this is what my lifestyle was going to be about. And
I didn't have no song concepts. I couldn't write songs at the time. But what I did do was create a whole album. Then I went and designed the album cover on, like, Windows Media Art. You know, then I...
Wow. And how old were you?
I was 9.
You 9 and you designing your own album art and everything?
Listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Ambitious, because this is what I'm saying. This is why I couldn't tell nobody, because nobody was going to take you serious unless you had the package that everybody else has. So,
but you was 9 and you understood that concept.
Yeah, because I seen what Jermaine Dupri had just dropped Bow Wow at the time. Mm. So I'm studying him, and I had long hair. All the girls, like, man, you know, I'm doing the talent shows. They going crazy. So my mom wanted to press my hair. I'm like, Mom, I just bring it up. I'm not wearing, you know. So
that's cute.
What I started to do is I started to go to Lil Romeo shows, Lil Corey, Lil Bow Wow shows, and every time I would get backstage. And one time I had won, my cousin Tiffany, I know she tuning in right now, I had won these passes to go to Bow Wow concert. And she said, all right, I'll take you, I'll be your chaperone. So she takes me to the concert, right? I'm dressed up. My mom bought me this little Mickey Mouse chain, sort of like Bow Wow. I got the long braids. Uh-huh. I got a Trailblazer jersey on. I got a red, white band on, a headband on. I got a black headband on. I got 2 headbands on. Then I got 2 armbands.
You was dressed to the nines.
This is the rapper swag back in the day.
Yeah.
So we walk in the building, I'll kid you not. The whole, like, it was a stadium full of girls. They start chasing us down. I don't know if they thought I was back. Oh, whoever they thought I was, they chased us down. And this is how we ended up backstage. We ran backstage, you know. And from that, I got to meet Lil Corey on that tour. And since then, like, we kind of kept in contact. But over the years, like, we know that contact separated. But it's just been a fun journey, you know.
Wow, that's a really good story to tell. So, like,
I never told that story either.
Like, really? Yeah, yeah. Oh, so I got it first.
Yeah. First time, hey, last time.
Hey, I like that. So I actually got a chance to listen to your EP, Who Is Jordan Cash? And I know I had texted you and I said, oh, this is a Cali sound, da da da. But I was on the Nas and Tupac song.
Okay.
And then I kept listening. I'm like, wait a minute, this next track don't sound like that. It sounds different. So, like, did the subjects of the songs have anything to do with the sound?
Well, what it is, it's just all about vibe. You know, people always ask you, what's your style? And I'm like, my style is just Jordan Cash. It's not no words you can put on it, because I'm going to tell a story based on how I felt when I went through it and based on how I feel when I'm speaking it or, like, reiterating it. So, with the Nas and Pac, I just thought about them both in the studio vibing, because the whole song was about me being an artist and being inspired by these artists. And I'm pretty sure on their come up, it was things that they had to face that was so ugly that they thought they could never make it as artists, you know? So it's just like being a sensible street cat who uses his calm and smooth intelligence, you know, to, like, work his ways into different opportunities. And then, like, when I get to the show, I'm just hype cat, you know. I'm respectful.
And that you are, because I actually did get to see you at Marisha's birthday party. She's actually in the studio. You can say hi if you want. Yay. And you were so hype. Like, that's what really drew me into you as an artist. And I was like, yo, I really have to get him on the show.
For sure.
Because you have stage presence.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? You're not just jumping around, like, you know, doing any kind of old thing. Like, you really have passion behind what you're saying.
For sure.
And you could definitely see that.
Yeah.
So, like, how did you learn? Is it something learned, or was it just something that
definitely,
was natural for you, the performance aspect?
Learned, studied over many years. I was just having a conversation with one of my OGs. Shout out to Up and Coming Records. This performance thing it's like going to the gym. You got to build that muscle memory. And by doing that, you got to keep practicing over and over. It's not something that's just going to be comfortable one day. You're going to walk on stage. It's going to be a room full of people and you comfortable up there. You got to be comfortable in front of the people before you even in front of them. So what I do, I still do to this day, is turn the living room into a stadium. This is my stadium right now. We about to act like we got big tall speakers over here. We got something to jump on right in front of here. It's gonna be people right here. I might want to crowd dive over here. Like, and that right there is getting me a sense of how to move around on stage. So
really?
When I get up there, it's like I didn't been here before, you know? So that's what I done growing up. But one of my like tricks, because I used to get nervous a lot. I was a popular kid growing up, but I was shy because I didn't know what to say. Because people always had something to say to me before I could speak to them, you know? So I really didn't know how to, what am I supposed to say back? Like, you didn't even give me time to warm up, you know?
So, right.
Like, when I went to go perform, it was kind of like that same thing. Like, I knew that I was going out to entertain these people, but at the same time, it's like, what if they don't like it? What if somebody think I'm not singing it right? What if my glasses is too far down on my nose? You know, I thought about all these things, but what I did every time, I used to watch, Jay-Z had dropped Fade to Black. It was a documentary that came out with the Black album, the last CD that he had put out. And I took this documentary every talent show, every open mic I was doing at the time. Well, it wasn't open mics back then. I was doing more of like club performances, and they would get me in the club to perform, and then I had to leave right after. And I would take this and I would watch it in the dressing room every time before I go on stage. And every time I went on stage, I like blanked out and felt like I was performing in Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
And if you're on stage at Madison Square Garden, I don't care who you are, what you do, you gotta kill it.
Of course, you gotta kill it,
you know. So,
and if you don't, you're getting booed. Like
getting booed.
Madison Square Garden.
Still to this day, I don't gotta watch the video, but I use that same method. So whether it's 50 or 500 people in the room, I'm coming out there and I'm gonna give y'all a show like y'all came here to see, you know. And then I'm gonna give you a show like you, even if you've seen it for free, I'm gonna give you a show that you would expect to pay for. Cause after that, you're gonna want to buy something, you know.
Of course. You really did it. You really sold me on your performance. So that's really good. You could tell you were really comfortable.
Well, thank you.
And it's that, because you practiced.
Now you know. Now I know something works. So now I'm about to go sell a lot of people. I'm about to go perform in front of a lot of people right now.
No, do that. You have to do that.
Who is Jordan Cash Tour 2016. We're going to be hitting the road. This tour starts May 21st. We're going to be on the road to August.
Wow.
We're hitting 15 cities. The last stop on the tour is my hometown, Indianapolis, Indiana, August 16th. Yo, it's going all the way crazy.
Wow. So before we end, because we're running out of time, but I just really want to know, like, what do you think your music and your movement is doing for the Black community?
It's not what I think we're going to do. It's like what our mission is to do,
okay.
And what my mission is about. And that's just about to drive the force to let people know it's possibilities and opportunities out here. And it's more possibilities and opportunities that's just in your community or your neighborhood. And I don't say that to just be like, yo, abandon your community, your neighborhood. You got to be a force or a factor in your community that's going to set an example for other people to follow, you know? So that's what we want to do through our music. We want to show people we can have fun, we can tell our story, we can all come together because we all been through something. So if more people who've been through something come together knowing they're trying to get somewhere, it's nobody who's going to come in between that pack and be like, yo, y'all can't go there. Y'all can't make it. Like, we already overcame what we overcome, you know, had to overcome. And all the obstacles and struggles we've been faced with, we fought them, like, heads up, you know, and we won them. So if we all join forces together, we can keep building, we can keep growing. We can let people know to be positive, to respect each other, you know, give good vibes, give good energy. Why go to a club with 800 people and then want to fight somebody in a club?
Like, we all, something that always happens.
Everybody left the house to have a good time. I'm pretty sure the person who was fighting left the house. So if we just look at petty things as being petty things, you know, we won't have to take it to the negative route. So our whole movement and mission is about self-respect, empowering each other, you know, and building each other's communities, because that's the only way we're going to keep being able to function as people out here and have, like, be able to be respected in a society.
Perfect. So in short, what are some of the goals that you have personally for you and your music?
With my music, I just plan to run a major music corporation, and that's going to be independent. We're going to have schools that teach people how to read music, write music, play music. We're going to do foundations. We're going to help artists reach their international platforms. We're going to help artists develop their brands and, like, really explore who they are and really let people tap into that. And, like, it's going to be a very fun thing, profitable for many people, and it's going to create jobs for a lot of people, you know? So
that's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
You know, I just, if you could, like, put Jay-Z, Russell Simmons, and Diddy all in one, Just think how powerful that is.
That's...
And I'm trying to exceed that power, you know, so...
And you will. I will. You will. You got to believe and manifest it, because it will happen for you. It definitely will happen.
For sure. I'm definitely focused, and I'm powerfully driven. Like, I'm ambitious about what I do, and I just want people to know, like, I came from a place where it was real ugly, and people was always telling me, you can't do this. You can't be this. You can only reach this limit. Mm-hmm. And it could have easily been me who listened. Because, like I said, I was shy. You know, I was kind of slow to react to things because I didn't want to make the wrong moves, you know. So I could have listened to what people was telling me, but I didn't. And if I could press through that, everybody should be able to.
That's amazing. And you will make it. You will. You just got to keep fighting. So before we go, could you please let everybody know where they can find your EP, where they can find your social media, all that jazz?
Yo, this kid, Jordan Cash... telling you to go get the Who Is Jordan Cash EP right now. Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, go get it. It's a great EP, 8 songs. You got to love it. Jordan Cash Music on Twitter, Instagram, Jordan Cash on Facebook, Jordan Cash Music on SoundCloud. Y'all stay connected. Y'all pay respect it.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, Jordan, for coming on my show and being my last guest of the season. I so appreciate it. And I actually love this interview, so I'm happy this ended on a great note. If anyone out there wants to find my social media, it's my Instagram is itsmeofficiallyt, or you can also catch this interview on thedailytonline.com as well. So this is The Daily Talk with Taylor Thibodeau on kpcradio.com. Until next time.
Solar.